Yeah, welcome. Just before I do a little book promotion, just what has been shared about clearing out the clutter. God told me to do that maybe a couple of years ago. And he just said to me, I want you to declutter your house. And it was, you know, often you think, oh, God doesn't speak to you like that. That's very practical. But I felt it was also a thing like first the natural and then the spiritual. And I did. I started clearing out stuff that I hadn't used for years. And you think, oh, that will come in handy sometime. And I had cleaned out my mum's house previously and said, I am never going to have clutter like this for my kids to do. And when I cleared it out, I felt then that God was starting to clear out clutter in my life. And sometimes it is when God, you have these dreams, it's almost like, I want to start decluttering you. And it could be the good things that we thought were good, like I shared on Friday night about God is doing a new thing, but we have to get rid of some stuff. Or it could be just things, you know, like God spoke to me recently and I hadn't realized that all my life I tried to live up to people's expectations of me. And I hadn't realized until I was at a prophet's retreat. I always think that's a weird thing that prophets actually retreat. But during a corporate ministry time, God just showed me that. And it's not something that was a big deal, but I realized, yes, I had. And so I have to leave that behind if I'm going to step. And I'm just going to read you Philippians 3:12 from the Passion Version. It's, Paul is saying, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance. I mean, the language, passion and abundance. So that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I mean, we're just on a beautiful journey of discovery. He's not going to show us it all at once. I think if God showed me everything he'd got for me at once, I'd be so overwhelmed. I'm not sure I would have the courage to go for it all at once. And he says, I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. And this I love. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. And I am fastening my heart to the future. I know what some of it looks like. I know it's all going to end gloriously, but I don't know what all of it looks like. So my encouragement is forget the past that we need to forget and fasten your heart to the future that he's got for you. So Ian showed some of this last night, but I don't know if every one of you were here. This is a book, because we've been talking about dialoguing together. And six of us got together at our house over 2 or 3 days, and we just talked about kingdom culture. We dialogued together, and it was recorded and then put into a little booklet. And it was such a precious time of dialogue together. And what does the kingdom culture look like? It doesn't look like the culture of the world. And one of us said, Jesus never intended us to be a subculture group of Christians going to church for 2 hours on a Sunday and having a wonderful time. He intended his people to be countercultural to the prevailing culture around us by demonstrating the reality of his kingdom here on earth to others. And the book is £5, which I think is a bargain, but I love a bargain. But it's a great book to buy and to read and to encourage dialogue between you as well, and to encourage one another to start demonstrating a kingdom culture, which Ian talked about some yesterday, about the glory of God, demonstrating his goodness and his kindness to a world that is desperate for it. So it's at the back, and Chris and Mike have kindly offered to oversee that, because we have to go at 12, so I've got to let Ian go on. Quite a while ago, our son and his wife, who live in Scarborough, won a night in a hotel in Whitby. And that's why we have to be back by 12 for them to get away, and we've got the grandson overnight. So we want to honour that.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
And just to say thank you Thank you for inviting us. Thank you for hosting us. Thank you for your kindness in your hospitality and friendship. Thank you for being interactive, like those of you who were here yesterday were. And it's been a joy to come to this precious place and actually to see some of our new neighbours, because we've moved into the locality. I just want to mention this book, When the World Escaped the Earth. I'm passionate about having a hope-filled future. I want to call time on doom, gloom, and dismay.
Amen.
Dismay. I believe we have tolerated it too much in the body of Christ, and it's time for heaven's hope-filled culture to fill our world. And so I won't go into more detail on that. This book, it's for sale at the back at £10. And we just want every one of God's people to be equipped with confidence to face the future, because the future belongs to Jesus. He is the Alpha and the Omega. So, Father, we are coming to you and we are opening our hearts to you. To you, our precious Lord, and to you, Holy Spirit. And we say, we want to hear your voice. We want to catch your heart. And we want to be shaped by what shapes you. And so we yield, we surrender, we allow you to come and readjust, declutter, whatever you want to do, that our inner world might line up with your glorious world. We bless this moment and bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just want to share something that is personal to me, of me experiencing the Lord and what he gave me. I simply want to pass on to you. And the context for this is that at the end of February, there was this tragic war that started when Russia invaded Ukraine. I had no idea that there would be two people from Ukraine here this morning. But like I said yesterday, because my heritage is from Central Eastern Europe on my dad's side, and he was born in Poland of Prussian heritage, and he would share some of the challenges that took place living between two superpowers. Germany to the west, Russia to the east. And we sometimes don't appreciate, living on this island that hasn't been invaded for 1,000 years, what it's like living in Central Europe, where boundaries have moved back and forth continuously, and the same town could have been in 3 different countries in the last 100 years. And the insecurity that comes from living in an environment where there's the possibility of invasion and change of regime. And when this happened, some of his stories came back to me, and I was troubled on the inside for Ukraine. My heart went out to them. And I know it's so important that we have spiritual responses, not just emotional responses. And so I turned to the Lord, because I want heaven's perspective on it. And I want to align with heaven to agree with how heaven sees things. so that I can partner with the Lord in what he's doing. And so what he shared with me, I want to pass on to you. And I want you to turn to Psalm 46, because this is one of the scriptures that he spoke to me from. I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. I'll read the first three verses of the psalm and the last three verses of the psalm, and then we can go through the things that the Lord shared with me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Verse 9. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And in turning to the Lord, the delightful thing is, as we see him, we begin to see things from heaven's perspective. That we are no longer shaped by earth's viewpoints, but in seeing from heaven's viewpoints, we see with a vision and a clarity that really does bring hope and faith. The phrase that God spoke to me that day in my troubled, disturbed, inner world condition was this phrase, see as I see. See as I see. The first thing he said is, see me as I truly am. This is what the psalm says. In verse 4, he is called the Lord Most High. He is greater, stronger, more powerful, with greater authority than anyone and anything else. He is the Most High. He is highly exalted above it all. So that instead of seeing it from these are big issues with the nations, actually from God's perspective, the nations are a drop in the bucket. And instead of seeing human issues magnified, it's time to see God in his glory as he truly is, high and lifted up and more powerful than anything that we are facing. His other statement is that he is the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is with us, is verse 7. Which means he is the host of the heavenly hosts. Our God is the commander of heaven's armies. And I tell you, this army is far more powerful than any earthly army. And any one of us that's experienced angelic presence knows there's someone with power and authority has just shown up. No wonder when an angel showed up to John in Revelation, he fell down to worship. This man is a mighty apostle. This man was the one that laid his head on Jesus' breast. He understood intimacy in the presence of God. This angel shows up and he wants to worship it because this angel is carrying something of the awesome dimension of who God is. And the angel says, don't worship me, get up on your feet. But when angels show up, you realize these are not tin pot creatures. These are powerful carriers of heaven's realm. I want to show you how powerful these are because the story is told in Isaiah 37 and Isaiah 38 of Assyria's besieging of Judea's towns and cities, and the plan was to besiege Jerusalem. 185,000 Assyrian soldiers were surrounding that region. And clearly Hezekiah the king is troubled by what he sees, and so he sends to Isaiah the prophet, who basically says, don't worry. And that night, one angel. You hear what I said, one? One angel. I'm not even sure it was an archangel, just an angel. One angel put to death 185,000 Assyrian soldiers, and they retreated. That's divine intervention. That is heaven's armies being released. Greater is he who is with us than he who is with them. See me as I truly am. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't allow yourself to be shaken and to be distorted in your inner world. See me as I truly am. He's king of all. The earth belongs to him. The highest heavens are his, and the earth belongs to him. And it stills our heart. Second thing he said to me, see yourself as I see you. Because when big stuff is happening, we can think too small of ourselves. We can seem like minnows caught up in this huge geopolitical confrontation. And the Lord said to me, see yourself as I see you. So I want to read this verse from verse 4. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. There is a river that flows from the very presence of God. Rivers always speak of life. Yes. They are flows of life that flow from God, that flow from his heart, and what he says and what he speaks, these are streams in the river that bring life to our very being. We heard this morning from Chris as he shared about this water, this living water. And there's living water that is flowing from the throne. And this is the word I want to speak over us. God wants to give us our true identity. He wants us to be shaped by how he sees us, not according to what people say or what the earth may say. What heaven says about us is to shape and reshape our lives. Now, here's the truth. This is our identity this morning. If we have received Christ, we're in Christ. His identity is our identity. I cannot see myself outside of Christ and see truly from heaven's perspective how heaven sees about me and about us. Therefore, I cannot see myself as a minnow. I cannot see myself as something small and insignificant when all this is going on. Actually, I am in Christ with his identity, and I carry his authority and his anointing because he gives it to me and to us in order to play our part in what's going on in the world. You know, I come from the nation of Wales, and in the Second World War, God raised up Rhys Howells as an intercessor, and even Churchill himself said the shape of the Second World War was affected by the praying that went on in South Wales. People's prayers can affect the destiny of nations. We're not something small. We're not something insignificant. We are in Christ. What's more, Christ is in us. Therefore, I must see myself. We must see ourselves according to the identity that comes out of the mouth of our Heavenly Father. We haven't got time to do a word study in Hebrews today, but I just want to give you this overview. That the primary identity of Jesus is a son. God, who spoke in various times, in past seasons, through the prophets, has in these last days spoken through us, to us through his son. He's a son. And the Son came to earth, the Son of God, became a son of man, so that the sons of men might become sons of God. I am a son. You can't be small when you discover that. You are sons, men and women, sons. I call you sons because it's sons that gain the inheritance. So women, you've got to learn to be sons, just like us guys have got to be learning to be part of the bride of Christ. I mean, it's one of those things we've got to learn to do. But as sons of God, men and women, we are born from above. We cannot think of ourselves as small. And as sons, we live in his love that completely replaces and dispels fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And this so began to reorientate my heart that I cannot partner and contemplate fear. I've got to live in the superior realm of love, and love deals with fear. Just like light deals with darkness. There's not an issue of battle, is there? You put the light switch on, guess what happens to the darkness? It flees. When love shows up, fear can't hang around, can't stick around. I don't want to end up fighting fear. I just want to end up receiving love. Love does its job and kicks out the fear. So his primary identity is as a son, my primary identity. So is yours, is a son that live in his love. His second identity is that he's a priest. In fact, he is a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. We have become priests. We are a royal priesthood. Every one of us is a priest. It's not the person that stood up here who's a priest. All of us are priests. And this priesthood is not an Old Testament priesthood according to Aaron, but it's actually a new covenant priesthood according to Melchizedek. It's a new kind of priesthood. Because the Aaronic priesthood reminded you about your sin. Because you were required to go to the priest with your sin offering. And whenever you saw the priest, you were reminded of your sin. Because he took it and dealt with it, but it's a reminder of sin. We have a high priest who has dealt with sin once and for all. So when we come to him, because he's of the order of Melchizedek, he does not remind us about our sin, but he blesses us, just like Melchizedek blessed Abraham, that he wants us to live in his blessing, not living in condemnation, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. Therefore, blessing is our inheritance as priests, so that we ourselves can learn to bless. Your neighbors don't need condemning. What they want is blessing. You can bless your neighbors, you can bless your street from where you live. You can bless your village, can bless your town. This is now our honor, that we are now priests that bring blessing. This morning we are going to, in a moment, bless Ukraine without even going there physically. But in the spirit, we can bring a blessing to that nation. This is the privilege of the sons of God who are priests. And the third thing that Jesus is, this Melchizedek, his name means King of Righteousness and King of Peace. Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. This now is not just Christ ruling that way, but all those who are kings and priests with him can live in righteousness, peace, and joy. And because it's the superior kingdom, we can release it into the world. What we live in, we can give away. So our primary identity, to see us as he sees us. I cannot see myself as small. I must see myself as a son bathed in his love, as a priest that is blessed and blesses, and as a king that has been enabled because I'm raised to sit with him on his throne, to rule with him in righteousness and peace, and to release it into the world. And then he said to me, "See the nations as I see them." This is what it says in the Psalm. Verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And the reason why he says, "I will be exalted," is because Psalm 2 says that the nations belong to him. The Father says to the Son, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. David sees this 1,000 years before Christ came to earth and before the work of the cross was accomplished. He saw that God had already set Christ on his holy mountain, and then says to Christ, ask of me, and I'll give you the nations for your possession, the ends of the earth for your inheritance. This earth belongs to the Lord. And when Jesus shed his blood poured out of his being, from the crown of thorns on his head and from the spear wound in his side and from the nail prints in his hands and his feet, blood poured out. In fact, it was blood and water, indicating that all the blood was drained and all that was left was water. And guess where the blood touched? The soil of this planet. Redeeming this planet, as well as redeeming the whole universe, so that it could be reconciled back to himself and back to his Father, the world and all it contains belongs to him. The nations are not there for their own purposes. The nations belong to Jesus. This morning, Ukraine belongs to Jesus. He purchased it by his blood. This morning, Russia belongs to Jesus. If the world and all it contains belongs to Jesus, then every individual nation and all that it contains belongs to Jesus. And the nations are uniquely made for his glory and for his delight and pleasure. And that his wonderful design and divine design might fill the earth with a multifaceted expression of heaven's creative culture through the individuality of the nations. Yes. Yes. So I want to say this morning that Russia does not belong to the president of Russia.
That's right.
Whatever he thinks, it does not belong to him. It belongs to the King of Kings, who has already shed his blood on this earth to purchase every tongue and tribe and people and nation for himself. It belongs to the King. And I'm in him and I represent him. And I must stand and see as he sees, see myself as he sees and see the nation as he sees. I begin to speak out what he sees so that there can be a shift in the earth to bring God's government to bear. And we are not to be idle bystanders in this process, but we are to partner with him to represent his heart, his nature, and heaven's realm.
Yes, amen.
See me as I truly am, he said. See yourself as I see you. See the nations as I see them. And I don't believe that what happened in the Second World War with Rhys Howells was just like a blip and we can forget about it and move on. I believe they were a prophetic forerunner community.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That what happened amongst them, and I had the honor of meeting some of the ladies that prayed with Rhys when I went down to the Bible College of Wales. I was stunned. They were in their 90s. Three ladies. In their 90s, they were never married. They just gave themselves to the Lord. I'm not against marriage, of course, but they didn't marry. They just gave themselves to the Lord. I was stunned because they were mid-90s plus. They looked like they were in their 50s. their skin was so smooth. One of the ladies says to me, I'm 97. I don't take any medicine. I have no arthritis. I am in perfect health. It's the presence of God. And being in the presence, even Paul says, we are renewed from the inside out. As we behold him, we become like him. And this was a living testimony to me of what does it look like to live in his presence and therefore carry the radiance of his being. Mid-90s and still looking beautiful. That is something. They prayed with him faithfully. And God changed the direction of the Second World War. So for the first time in my life, because I wasn't around during the Second World War, this continent is experiencing war once again. But I believe we're not to be idle bystanders. But it's now our turn to take our royal position as sons and priests and kings and release heaven's perspective into the earth. So I'd like us to pray for Ukraine. I'd like us to pray for Russia. And I'd like us to pray as well for the nations of Europe, because this, for me, this is my continent. This is my watch. Yes. I'm alive on this continent right now. This is my watch. This is my responsibility. I'm inviting you to play your part in this watch, in this responsibility, and that we align with heaven and release his realm. So I looked at my phone earlier in the compass, and I realized that Ukraine is over there. Would you agree?
Yes.
It's in that direction towards the corner there. Let's stand up and we will face that direction. The priests of God Most High, we will raise our hands to bless. So let's raise our hands to bless.
Yeah.
King Jesus, we stand under your royal reign. We just say thank you that you have permitted us to see from heaven's perspective, because you have raised us up and seated us with you in heavenly places. And we look into our continent and we want it to be a blessed continent. And so we raise the hand of blessing as royal sons, as royal priests, as royal kings, and we say, Ukraine, we bless you to be the nation that God has meant you to be. And we say, let the destroyer be destroyed, that he may not win this nation for himself, because this nation belongs to King Jesus. And as his representatives, we declare peace to you, Ukraine. Righteousness, justice, and peace be within your borders. People of Ukraine, we say be strong in who God has meant you to be. Let his grace surround you, overshadow you. Let his love drive out every fear. And let his peace intimidate the enemy because of what you're experiencing in the midst of conflict. God, you are the God who makes wars cease.
Amen.
To the end of the world, yes. To the end of the earth. We say, let this war cease. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let there be a righteous end,
yes,
to this war. And let Ukraine once again prosper.
Yes.
And become a nation that is able to carry a glory in a completely unique way through its own national cultural identity.
Yes.
And so we turn to you, Russia.
Yeah.
You too are meant to know the glory of God.
Yes.
Russia, a land rich in resource. You were meant to be for the blessing of your neighbors. Your riches were meant to bring blessing to the nations next to you. And we say to you, Russia, reconnect with divine destiny. Let the vicious, avaricious attitude of the enemy in your midst be destroyed. And let righteousness come to you as a nation. Let justice be done in your streets. And let love flow down the streets of Moscow, of St. Petersburg, of all the other cities. Let it be a place where people can prosper because they're experiencing the presence of God, and righteousness and justice is reigning in your land. So Lord, we just turn to you for our continent. And we bring before you the leaders of the nations of Europe. Leaders, in the name of Jesus, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his power. It's not time to pursue party political agenda. It's time to care for the poor, to protect the oppressed and the vulnerable. It's time to cause wars to end by the use, rightful use of your powers. We say, leaders, be resolute, be strong, and let righteousness come into our continent in a completely new dimension. What the enemy has sought for evil, we say in the name of Jesus, use your powers to turn it for good. Let there come realignments among you nations that are for blessing one another, not for being provoking to one another, where harmony and peace and righteousness shall dwell. And King Jesus, we just want to honor you and love you. Because you have honored us by calling us to yourself. We have been placed in you. We are rightly seated with you and in you. And we bless you for honoring us with this amazing divine anointing to rule with you in the nations. And from this place, we send blessing to our nation, to the European nations. And we say, let glory come to Europe once again. Let revival rivers flow through the cities, through the nations, through the villages and the towns that are in this continent. Let your righteous flood tide prevail. And let the clutter that has been accumulated through men's activities be washed away. And let there be an open heaven where people are living under your reign and releasing your reign, that glory might once again come to this continent. Home of reformation. Home of revival. Home of restoration. Receive a fresh encounter. that reshapes you to become the continent God intended you to be. We bless you, and we say thank you, Jesus, for this honor in partnering with you, that we might see as you see. And we bless one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Marge. It's been a pleasure having you with us. You're all right for your timings. Yes, you're okay there. But that's a really good lead-in, isn't it? What are we? What are we? He said, we are sons of God. Sons of God. Christ in us.
Yes.
The hope of glory.
Yes.
And what have we been declaring now for week after week after week? And I think it's right that we do it again this morning. As sons of God, let's affirm what we have in Christ. So come on, stand up. And let's read what we've got before us. I am who the Bible says I am. I can have what the Bible says I can have. And I can do what the Bible says I can do.
Yes.
Amen.
That's your heritage as sons of God. Because that's the word.
Yeah.
Okay.